Hey everyone, it's Andy Bueller, statewide high school sports reporter and host of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. The coronavirus has shut down schools and halted high school sports, so we're going to take things up a notch here at Scorebook Live. Each day our own Dan Dickow is going to have on a new guest to this very podcast as a part of a special podcast series in addition to our weekly episode tackling the top stories across the state. The best way to keep up with that and what we do is head to scorebooklive.com/Washington, your home for Washington High School sports coverage, and subscribe to this podcast for free. Head to wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or a couple examples. Look up Scorebook Life Today, hit subscribe, and while you're there, leave us a rating, a comment. It really helps us do what we do. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, here on the podcast, bringing you another special guest today. He joined us in the fall, kind of as a preview to what their season may look like. And in all actuality, and looking back, he short-sighted his team because they had a tremendous season. I think he was really kind of downplaying expectations, which you'll find a number of coaches do, and rightfully so. But head coach of Linden Christian, Roger DeBoer. Coach, thanks for joining. We really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you guys. And I said this at the bat, and I'll end with you. You guys do such a great job for high school sports, and we just appreciate you guys greatly for what you do to invest in the lives of kids. And it's great stuff, and we follow you guys regularly.
Well, we appreciate those words. We're just a small cog in high school sports, and in the biggest components in that cog of high school sports are the athletes and the coaches and the parents themselves. And hopefully through this series of interviews that we're releasing daily, we can be an encouragement to those coaches, athletes, and parents, maybe be a resource and a learning opportunity for some of them. To hear from coaches like you who have a tremendous amount of experience and who have perspective of how to be a role model and set an example in such uncertain times that we're living in right now. So thank you for joining and thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
So coach, just want to get right into it. We had talked in the fall, like I had mentioned, and you liked your team. You liked what you thought you were going to have. You had a couple concerns because, quite frankly, being in a small school, you have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and some of your guys might be getting to practice a week or two late. And so you thought if you could weather the storm early and get the guys up to speed gradually throughout the course of the year, you really liked what you might have. And fast forward to the end of the year, you were spot on. You unfortunately couldn't come away with the big-time prize, but you made the state tournament. You made the title game and unfortunately ran into a very good Kings team. How was the progression of your team from a coach's perspective this past season?
Great question, especially with this year. For us as a staff, it was definitely the adjustment of learning how you cope and deal, not just physically, but mentally with a team that comes off of football. You hit it right on the head when you said that we have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and we've really embraced that at Linden Christian and work hard as coaches to support one another. So what ended up being our top 12 kids at the end of year, 9 of them were involved in football. Our football team went all the way through December 7th, lost in a thriller to Will in the football finals. But that basically took away, really that easy 3 to 4 weeks of time together that we would have normally had to build and have practice. We weren't together, so it was definitely a late start. It was learning to adjust. Also, just having the guys there did not mean that mentally they were in tune with basketball after coming off such a long football season. So it it was definitely a learning process, and it really did take the last couple of weeks of the year for us to really gain our stride and get back on top of things. And so it was a unique progression for sure, one that, you know, in a lot of ways was a great, even for a coach of 30 years, a great learning experience just to learn more about the psychology of the high school kid and what goes into that and what can we do to contribute as coaches, as kids that invest so much energy into multiple sports and how we can help them with that. And it ended up being, you know, overall, obviously, you know, we peaked at the right time. We played our best basketball at the end of the year. And like you said, came also close to the grand prize. But we had a lot of pride in our kids and a lot of pride in their effort and what they invested into each other in this game.
I'm always impressed of high school coaches that pour as much time and passion into the sport of basketball, but also into the kids that come through their program. I've heard that from multiple sources, coaches across the state, that you are towards the top of the list of a prime example for what I just spoke on. How did your love of the game develop, and what made you want to get into high school coaching and really pursue a passion of instilling positive characteristics in young people?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, my passion came really obviously through afternoon, as I did on a dairy farm. You know, you kind of instantly are subjected to the game in the basketball. And so, you know, been part of kind of the living community, the living culture, and the majority of my life. And I had older sisters. I was youngest of five siblings, and my older sisters were cheerleaders. So, actually, true story, my mom has a picture of me in diapers at the UPS Fieldhouse back in the mid-60s when we went to Fall Island in Richmond. And actually, at 56 years old, I did the 54 1A. WAA tournaments. And so I've only this twice in my entire lifetime. So it's been in my blood from the very beginning. My parents were junkies from the get-go. They absolutely loved sports, but in particular loved basketball. So it was kind of a part of life from the very beginning. And I can recall even back in the fourth or fifth grade after one of those state tournaments, I told my parents someday, you know, not only do I want to play here, but I want to bring a team back here and coach here in the tournament. And a part of it, and you know, it's kind of a dream come true, right? To be around the game that I love, to be around other coaches who have the same type of passion, but also then use that love for the game to also love on kids and show them and teach them about life and you know, their journey, not only just through a sport, but using that journey through a sport to help them become great young men and husbands and fathers and young men of God. And so it's been a dream come true. I totally feel like God's called us to do this. And it's great to be able to kind of match your passions all in one spot. And it's been a lot of fun to do so.
What a tremendous story. I had no idea that you have been to the state tournament, the 1A level, every year of your life but two. That is tremendous. And that speaks so much to the passion that you have for high school basketball, in particular, though, the small school high school basketball in the state. So that is really impressive. And the fact that it's been fostered through your family is really interesting and awesome to see as well. And that leads me to my next question. Your son, Jaden, had a really good year, and then he had a really good state tournament run to help you guys make the title game. Some coaches have embraced coaching their sons, whether at the high school or the college level. Some have shied away from it. What has been your experience, and what would you what would you share with another high school coach that might be in a similar position as yours?
Well, I agree with both camps, actually. You know, coaching your own child is extremely difficult at times and extremely rewarding at times. And it's one thing that I had always promised myself I would never do. And I kind of anticipated getting out of coaching when I reached high school, or middle school, is now a year younger, junior, my seventh grade son Chase, and I just felt like a youth had opportunity to just come, you know, cheer on our kids. And I had one very unique conversation. Obviously, you get a lot of input, not just from the community, but former players, things like that. But there was one conversation, Dan, that probably sticks out in my mind more than anything. I was with my son to pull me aside, and this is why I was kind of going through the determination of whether or not to continue. And it was a really special moment we shared during this bag, in which, you know, I have grown up in the gym. I have grown up since I've been 4 or 5 years old, coming to practice and watching what you and the coaching staff do, and I've had the opportunity to live it. And he goes, all this opportunity to watch guys grow as family, to guys bond, become close, this culture that has been so awesome to be a part of. And he goes, I love it so much, because now that I'm going to be getting into high school, you want to be back to chance and not allow me to be part of that experience and part of that culture and part of that family atmosphere that you and the other coaches and other players have built over the years. He goes, I just don't see that, how that's fair. And it was a very unique perspective, not one that I had considered, but it was definitely a tipping point for me to basically, you know, embrace the good and the bad that goes along with coaching your own child and make the decision to continue to move forward. But, you know, Dan, it hasn't always been easy. It's extremely difficult, especially in a small community. It can get tough at times, and we've got a lot of passionate people for basketball, when people are passionate, obviously there's a lot of critics as well. I think any time you coach your own son, it's easy to fall into, you know, listening to the outside world and falling prey to the critics and, you know, why are you playing your kid and all that. So we've got to be extremely careful. Actually, some of our other coaches have children in the program as well. We've actually had to develop an action plan that we actually gave to our administration and to the community, that basically, you know, we don't have, we're powerless when it comes to our own children as far as discipline, as far as how we work with, you know, evaluations and what team they end up on. We've been pretty serious about how we do that. And so we felt like we put at least all the proper channels in place, but it never takes the personal side out of it, right? When you wear your bad hat, when you wear your coach hat, we really struggled last year, especially when we became a Marshall player. Just learning where that all fits in. Where do you draw the lines? Because with that, you have to have relationship boundaries. How much do you take home and how much do you not take home? And then to be able to, you know, Jaden loves the game. Cole's learning to love the game. So where do you cut that love for the game off within the own roof of your own home and at practice and all of that? And that's been a huge learning process for all of us. This year with much more smoothly. We are very appreciative of that. And I think that's just, again, part of the learning process. And so I think with that, obviously, Jaden became a lot more comfortable. I think the community realized that, you know, he's a pretty special player. And the criticism probably backed off a little bit as far as his involvement on the varsity team. And we continued to make steps. And he had a great year. I mean, if his last name was Anderson, he still had a great year. And you know, we're really proud of him and what he did. He's still, obviously, his dad and his coach think he still has a lot of work to do, but he's done some really neat things for our program, and we appreciate his contribution here.
That's awesome. I love to hear the pride in your voice come through as we speak. I've got two boys. My oldest will be in high school in a couple years, and I've coached him up till now, but once he gets to high school, I'm looking forward to kind of watching his career develop from a different path. But the way you spoke about balancing everything was tremendous, and I think that's a lesson that other coaches in a similar position can definitely learn from. Last question that I have for you before I let you go. Obviously, we're in some uncertain times. I know you coach at a smaller school that's built on faith, that's built on community. How are you guys, both as a coaching staff as well as a community and a basketball program, how are you guys staying connected even though you can't be connected physically at this moment in time, to continue to support each other, making sure, you know, everyone's kind of adhering to the standards with which you have set forth with your program.
Yeah, you're right. It is uncharted territory, and it has been kind of a difficult few weeks. First and foremost, the tough part is when your heart breaks. We had, you know, we had 5 or 6 kids, you know, on our varsity roster that were really good baseball players, and a couple of guys that had chosen to do track and field, and you know, suddenly, you know, all those goals, you know, basketball is an outstanding sport. All those goals in those other sports, you know, have just kind of been put aside until late April, and we'll see what happens. But you know, kids love, you know, other activities and other sports. You see them have to not be able to do those. Well, that's tough. You know, the baseball coach and I, Daniel Vandertor, he's a dear friend, and I know how much love and passion he has for the game, right? So your heart goes out to the spring sports coaches right now that, you know, have been chomping at the bit to, you know, made their goals and they're, you know, what's going to happen this year. The practice plans were already going, and it just all goes away. So, you know, your heart goes out because you know how much you love your sport, right? And that's tough. So, you know, we tried to encourage each other, you know, via text and things like that. But, you know, it's pretty tough to relate because we were fortunate enough to have our season, you know, come to the fulfillment. You know, but as far as the players and stuff are concerned, you know, we have a group text going, and we reach out and you know, try to encourage the kids as much as possible. Obviously, we get to hear through them and of them and from them through having 2 sons at home. You know, we get to have you know, some conversation and things like that as well, which has been really cool. That is the nice thing about a small community. You know, being in Linden, is that, you know, everybody's fairly close by, and we have the ability to keep in contact. You know, I haven't done this yet, but heard a great idea from the coach actually this morning, and he's been doing some things that he called something challenge, and he has some physical and some academic challenges for the kids and have some rewards and like a contest with the whole team. So to think about how fun that would be to do that with everybody and, you know, involve some, you know, some reading, some academic work, some, you know, physical fitness stuff, and then report back to each other about what we're doing. So I like that idea. I think that is cool. But we've definitely stayed in touch. I've sent a lot of inspirational stuff to the guys on our group text. And, you know, try to keep in touch and let them know that, hey, we love you guys and care about you and looking forward to you. You know, long in the summer, but, you know, these times, Dan, more than any, I mean, one thing that we all know as adults, but I think especially with teenagers and stuff, is that desire to be loved and valued and be part of something bigger than yourself are all huge aspects of their life. And when you've been at home and nothing to do, that's got to be tough. And so I love the question because I think what it does is at least you know, allows us to really think about what can we be doing to make sure the athletes still love, still feel valued, and still feel part of something special, even though they may be sitting in their home. So, you know, we go day by day and we see what happens, and obviously leave it in the good Lord's hands and know that He is in control. And you know, let's see what the next few weeks unveil for us.
Well, Coach, appreciate your time. It was fun following the team's progress throughout the year. Congrats on a nice way to finish the season. I look forward to seeing you, connecting with you over the summer when basketball tournaments, leagues, camps reopen. And always glad to have you a part of the podcast. And again, we appreciate everything you're doing for basketball in the state of Washington, everything you do for your community up in the northwest corner of the state. So thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, and blessings to you guys as you come up with creative ways to keep us all in touch with one another through these trying times.